Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. A lot to get into in the world of sports betting. Seven total bets for Major League Baseball. We got a handful of props for the Olympic men's basketball gold medal game, bronze medal game going down tomorrow. And we'll continue our look at NFL futures markets. Today, we're going to target the MVP markets, taking a look at our best bets and some long shots worth considering, doing a little sprinkle on perhaps. So let us start with the biggest event of the weekend. Of course, Team USA had a little scare yesterday. They're going to try to lock up that gold medal. So we're going to bring in our guy, John Mettler, the Magic Ass Man, Mr. Basketball around here. John, how are we making out?
Good. That was more than a scare. That was quite the game. Serbia really had them on the ropes there. That was probably one of the best basketball games I've seen in a long time there yesterday, USA-Serbia.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying too close attention to it. I was coaching my son's baseball team, and I looked at my phone in between innings and said, USA down by 13 entering the fourth quarter. And I thought, well, this is what they get for leaving Caitlin Clark off the team, right? She could have really helped them earlier in that game. But yeah, nice comeback by the USA. They kind of got the scare out of the way. I think going through that experience in that game, I think it's really going to help them going into this game against France here tomorrow. But could you imagine the disaster had they lost? People would have wanted Steve Kerr deported. People picking on him because he's not getting Tatum in there. All of the LeBron haters would have come out because that's how it works. Embiid wouldn't be welcome back on the team either. But they went through it. I do think it's going to help them. They are a 16.5-point favorite over France, who punched their ticket to the gold medal game. We'll see how many free throws they'll get in the game here tomorrow. The bronze medal game, we'll see Serbia -2.5 versus Germany. That looks to be like a more competitive game. First of all, you have three prop bets for tomorrow, but your thoughts on that big spread, 16.5. I keep saying, hey, the U.S., they're going to learn from, who was it, Angola, or that they played in the exhibition game, the team that they only beat by one, and then they played them in the games that counted. And they still didn't cover the spread in that one. So I keep thinking, like, okay, they learned their lesson. Now they're going to kick the shit out of this team and cover the number. But I'm going to stick with that logic. I do think that they will cover, no playing with their food at all versus this France team. I'll take them to cover 16.5. Your thoughts on the big number for the gold medal game?
Yeah, I was actually, as soon as the USA game ended, I was immediately looking for a spread. I thought we might get an opportunity where we might get like a half decent number on the USA. I was kind of looking for more like 11.5, 12.5 type thing. And they opened 14.5. It's been pushed up to 16.5. I personally, from like a basketball side of things, I think the USA absolutely destroys them. I just don't, from a betting side of things, I don't really want to jump in at that number. I think it's a little too high to the point where like you can even kind of talk yourself into an edge type thing. I think that's a little too high. I was looking for something better. I just thought when France, you know, you have the home court, you take out Canada and Germany, two big wins. I thought that would kind of help bring the number down a bit. And then also with USA just barely being Serbia, I thought it was like a perfect storm of they might open France not at the best number there and we could take advantage of it with USA, but that was not the case at all. And it's been pushed even higher for the actual like game. You know, France has been able to take advantage of Canada not having many bigs going inside to like their EuroLeague bigs, not Gobert's on the bench. And they did it to, you know, they did it to Germany, they did it to Canada. That's not going to work against USA. You have Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Joel Embiid. I really think they're going to struggle to score. And I think, like you said, I think USA is, they're not going to get caught off guard here. They got their scare against Serbia. This is the gold medal game in front of the home crowd. I think they're going to come out guns blazing. And I think they absolutely crush them.
Yeah, all the narratives pointing towards the U.S., yeah, so to keep in mind, it's most likely going to be the last ever game playing for Team USA for LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. You know, maybe one of the three comes back here in 2028. The game's taking place in the U.S. Who knows if there would be some interest if the guys are still active. I'm sure they would welcome them back. Some of the fellas in the chat correcting my ignorance. Yes, South Sudan. Thank you to Todd and Jim for pointing that out. Speaking of the live chat, if you guys are in the live chat, drop some of your best bets here for this weekend. Olympic action. We got some preseason football tonight. I have some notes at the tail end of the show for tonight's games. And, of course, Major League Baseball. Let us know who you like. Give us a little breakdown, and we will read a few off throughout the course of the show. Okay, John, you're going to have a little break here. I guess you're going to get into the NBA futures markets and stuff after the Olympic hoops wraps up tomorrow. But let's get into some of these picks here. So USA, France, 16.5 point spread. Your first prop bet, Devin Booker. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going Devin Booker over 8.5 points. Devin Booker, I think we got to give Devin Booker a lot of credit here. He's been a very good role player for this USA team. He's fit into that starting lineup, playing alongside everyone. He's done a fantastic job of that. You just look against Serbia, he only scored 6 points. And I've highlighted many times in this tournament that the most recent box score has a big impact on these player props, and that sometimes I think you can get an overcorrection. So this is down. So he was 10.5 against Serbia. He's down to 8.5 here against France. When you just look at the matchup, so like these previous matchups for USA, obviously they can take advantage of their size going to the rim, you know, their interior offense. You know, France has Wembanyama, obviously a fantastic rim protector, shot blocker. Is Gobert going to play it? We don't know, but I mean, he won NBA Defensive Player of the Year as well. I feel like he probably should get minutes and will get minutes in this game just against the matchup against USA. So they're going to have to be more reliant on a little outside shooting or even like more driving kicks. Like someone like, you know, LeBron James, if he gets in the lane and all of a sudden he's facing Wembanyama, you might see a kick where before it was just an easy layup against Puerto Rico or something like that. I think Devin Booker will be the beneficiary of that passing, and they're going to need outside shooting. And I also do think, you know, you can only stop so much in a basketball game. And if you're France, Curry just went for 36. LeBron James is probably their best player. Embiid, they definitely don't want him to score just because of the France-USA thing. So I think Booker kind of gets that easiest matchup on offense, and that might be something USA looks to take advantage of too. Last thing is, it was very encouraging to me that that was a close game. They were down and he was running with the starters in the fourth quarter in the most important minutes of that game. To me, that kind of tells me he has a guaranteed role for someone you're not really sure. Is it Anthony Edwards? Is it Devin Booker? To me, Devin Booker's minutes are like guaranteed in that 20-25 minute window, so I like that as well with Booker. So I'm going over 8.5 points.
And is that widely available? We have Starface23 in the live chat asking, where's Booker still 8.5?
That was at Betano this morning. And then DraftKings, I think DraftKings, someone asked me somewhere else, it was 9.5 even money. I would take the 9.5 even money as well.
Okay. There you have it. Okay. Also in the live chat here, I'm sorry, _JK, going with an alt spread. He's saying he's going to take France inside of 10 points here, +9.5 at +235. Don't be shocked if they have 25 more free throws than the U.S. We saw what happened in that Canada game. Not so much last time out, though. So best of luck with that bet. Yeah, I would like to see more competitive game here. Absolutely. Okay, let's get into this next one. I don't know who this guy is. Isaiah Cordinier?
Yeah.
Who the hell is that guy? You like a bet on this gentleman, though.
Yeah, so he wasn't even like really playing for France. And then they got blown out in the group play game against Germany. He came in the fourth quarter and he was really productive. And then he played Canada and that was the switch they made. They started him. He came out, I think he scored the first 8 points against Canada and his total was 6.5. So he had 20 points against Canada. Then last game against Germany, he had 16 points. His total was 8.5. Now he's up to 11.5. I'm going under because I think this has obviously moved quite a bit because of his production in the last two games here, 20 and 16 points. When you watch him, he can shoot the three, but he's also a downhill driver, finish at the rim. He's had some nice dunks as well. And once again, this is a completely different matchup. You know, when you're driving the lane against Canada, well, you're facing Dwight Powell, Kelly Olynyk, and Ken Birch. Now it's Embiid, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo. Like, these guys are elite rim protectors in the NBA. They're guys who are in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Like I said, I think France is going to struggle to score. And Cordinier, like, even, you know, it's a very exciting that what you've seen from him these last two games, 20 and 16 points. But you look at his EuroLeague stats, he only averages 8.1 points per game. So I just feel like 11.5 is a pretty big total here against USA. I also think he caught Canada and Germany kind of off guard. I don't think they really had a scouting report on him or like had a defensive game plan for him. If you're the USA now and you've seen him play two games where he's kind of been their leading scorer, the guy like generating a lot of the offense, you might even see Jrue Holiday on him. So that's a huge, very different matchup than like what he's been facing. So he was kind of getting Jamal Murray in the Canada game. They weren't putting their best defender on him. So I think the USA will use what they've seen in the last two games. I think there will be like more of a focus on him. And then this total is also high too, relative to what we've seen. So I'm going the under 11.5.
Okay, next up, last but not least, John's final bet here for the men's Olympic basketball tournament. Everyone's favorite player, Joel Embiid. What do you have for him?
Yeah, so I'm going Joel Embiid over 1.5 assists. This one was also at Betano. It wasn't posted at a couple sports books, so there's questions there about Devin Booker. Some books might not even offer this at all. They kind of like pick and choose which USA players they want to offer. So this one was at Betano. It was over 1.5 assists. So for, you know, with Embiid, he's playing France. Obviously, we know the rivalry. He could have played for France. Everyone's been booing him the whole time because he chose to play for USA. If I'm the France coach and I'm the France team, I don't want him to score. If we're going to lose, I think I'd rather be someone else than Embiid. And I think you're just going to see more double teams or like more focus, like kind of on him. And first, if you're a big guy who's getting double teamed, that just opens up more potential assists. The big thing too here is he's going to be guarded by Wembanyama, you know, great rim protector. Wembanyama is a really good shot blocker when he gets to play help defense. So a big part of like stopping him from doing that is either pulling him out to the perimeter, which Embiid can do. He can shoot the three, he can shoot the mid-range jumper, or even backing him down, making him take that contact and then dumping it off to someone else who can finish because he's too busy like guarding you in the post. So I think you're just going to see Embiid kind of used as a passer a little bit more just because of the matchup with Wembanyama. This is also just 1.5 for Embiid is a really low total. And like he was, you know, he usually trades around 4.5 in the NBA. The big thing too, I've noticed with the assist props for USA, it's they don't get many potential assists, but they convert at a really, really high rate because you're passing to Devin Booker as a shooter, Stephen Curry as a shooter, LeBron James on a cut can finish at the rim. So you probably won't see too many potential assists, but he's just surrounded by talent who can finish off those potential assists. So 1.5, I'm going over on Joel Embiid.
Okay, active live chat today, Starkface23 saying, FanDuel, Caesars, DraftKings, all afraid to post Embiid assist in the States. Who knows? The game is still more than 24 hours away, so maybe they might be a little bit late into those markets. So Juju opened up a little bit more on the day of. And if you're looking for a bet to fade, Dell, producer Dell in live chat, Kevin Durant over 13.5 points. Dell always a rock solid fade when he's chiming in the live chat here. So maybe look for Durant to have a bit of a down day. Metler, sit tight. We're going to get into some Major League Baseball. Then we're going to come back and get into some NFL futures talk. So we'll kick you out for a second, and we're going to bring in our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting, fresh off 14 innings pitched, I think it was, in his men's beer league game last night. You must be in rough shape here today, right, bud?
Oh, I slid. I hurt my leg, but the tailgaters got a couple of wins last night. Big move up from the B to the A division. And 14 innings, first game, right out of the pen. I had zero and went right to 14 innings. So something you don't see too much these days, especially with 42-year-old men.
Is this fast pitch or?
No, this has been slow pitch.
So I was going to say, what is going on? Yeah. What type of pitches you got in your arsenal there? Okay, so I got back on track a little bit on Wednesday's show. I went 3-0 with my pick. So we're going to be looking to finish the regular season strong here. Went to a bit of a tailspin last week. Hopefully I am out of that. I got 5 picks for tonight. Jingles has 2. So let's get right into it. We have 2 for Mitchell Parker. I'll go first. Big Mitchell Parker day on the show today. I'm going to take under 4.5 strikeouts for Parker. Low strikeout totals aren't rare for him. He's had 3 or fewer strikeouts 8 times already this season. Just 3 in back-to-back starts his last 2 times out. Might surprise you to hear. Angels, the second lowest strikeout percentage versus left-handed pitching over the last month. Showing pretty good plate discipline versus lefties. And also to factor in here, Washington, they don't seem very keen on giving the 24-year-old a long leash. They're not going to pitch this guy into the ground, just 24 years old. They got nothing to play for as well. He's only reached the 90-pitch mark once in his last 6 starts, under 80 3 times in this span. So we'll take Parker under 4.5 strikeouts, and you're fading this young man as well. What are you betting on for Parker?
Well, the first thing I did this morning was bet his under strikeouts like you did, move that market a bit. Ooh. And now the outs projects very well too, under 17.5, some minus 120s, I believe, minus 120, minus 118 at Rivers. That's where that best price is. You touched on a lot of it. LA, looking at it, if you're just kind of a box score better, recreational better, you're like, that team's garbage. It's been striking out a lot. They've actually really improved their K rate since June when things were ugly. And you touched on the fact that they're actually pretty decent lineup versus left-handed pitching. Then you have an issue with Mitchell Parker, who over the course of the year has just pitched too damn efficiently for what he is. 93 or more pitches just once in his last 11 starts. If you can project a guy for somewhere in that 90 pitch range, you should be hitting under 17 and a half outs probably every time. A big thing within this game that really makes me like the under, chance of delay with rain, with all that East Coast rain, Kevin Roth calling it. The bulk of the rain will clear by first pitch, but there's still an isolated storm or two around. Chance for a delay. So that's kind of the perfect storm for starters. Nice and clear for first pitch. And then ready to go. We already saw a game this week in Washington where they had two delays. The San Francisco-Washington game, I believe it was yesterday afternoon. So that one got in, and some underbettors were very lucky that that game got in.
Okay, let's look to see that again tonight. Okay, back to me for three in a row. Zach Lytle, the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to fade this guy, take him to allow over 5.5 hits with the Baltimore Orioles in town. And he has struggled against Orioles hitters. They've combined for a 307 average and 75 combined at-bats. He's faced them twice this season. He allowed 18 hits in those two games. They just smacked the shit out of him. And the O is red hot versus right-handed pitching, smacking the shit out of righties, ripping a lot of hard contact, the third highest over the last 2 weeks. So expect them to find some holes in that infield, hopefully rip a couple balls to the gap as well. So Lytle over 5.5 hits allowed. Next up, we're backing Jose Berríos under 2.5 earned runs on the bump tonight in beautiful Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So I think a really nice bounce back spot here for Berríos, who's been knocked around by some strong offenses lately. The Yankees, D-backs, Astros, I'll smack the shit out of him for 5 earned runs, but you really have to consider the level of competition here, people. Taking on the Oakland A's tonight, 28th in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. His best work has come at home, where he has a 2.99 ERA. Oakland's worst work has come on the road, where they rank 27th in runs scored this season. So Berríos to get back on track for one night at least here. Anyways, next up. Like a beautiful number here on the Kansas City Royals. Going to take them at full game money line. Beautiful spot at home here versus the dinky St. Louis Cardinals with a dinky starter, Miles Mikolas, on the mound. This guy is prone to getting lit up. He's got a 6.14 ERA since June 22 versus a lot of subpar competition. Cubs a few times, Nats a few times, Pirates in there as well. Now he's taking on a really good offense, especially versus righties. Royals raking versus righties, fourth in OPS over the last month. St. Louis's bullpen is absolute bullshit, too. 26 in ERA over the last 2 weeks. So I give Kansas City the starting pitching edge with Michael Lorenzen going for them, an obvious hitting edge and a bullpen edge as well. Good number. They're much better on their home field as well. So give me the Royals there. Next up, we go down to Arizona, the Phillies in town to take on the D-backs. Jingles, what do you got for this one?
This is just a big number for Nelson, who's closed under 17 and a half outs in 6 of his last 10 starts. He gets a home start versus the Phillies, who have the best record in baseball. Kyle Schwarber's red hot. Hopefully we see old Mr. Harper break out of that slump. I believe he got his over 1.5 total bases yesterday, so more to come from him. But Nelson is a funny thing, kind of in that vein of Parker, where he's been pitching above his numbers all year. And he's 6-4 to the over in this in his last 10. But it's the leash that is more bankable to bet on than maybe his trends, because he's averaging under 90 pitches per start over that 10-game stretch. He's close to a K per inning guy over that stretch as well. But guess what? His career numbers are more bankable too, 6.5 Ks per nine. He's going to struggle to strike out people. He's going to struggle to get some serious contact from some Philadelphia bats. And they wouldn't be surprised if this number closed at 16.5. Projects for 15.5 outs on 87 pitches today.
Okay, let's wrap up the Major League Baseball section of the show. I'm going to back Jose Quintana on a decent little roll. Going to take under 2.5 earned runs, even money in Seattle against the Mariners. He is on a nice roll, 7-2 against this number. His last 9 starts, holding the likes of the Twins, Yankees, and Astros below this number. Pretty light competition here tonight. Seattle struggling versus left-handed pitching, 25th in OPS over the last month, and they are also dog shit at home. Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's call it exactly what it is. They are dead last in OPS at home over the last month, 29th over the course of the season. So Quintana, under 2.5 earned runs there for the Mets. Okay, we have crossed over 1,000 live viewers on X and on YouTube. The majority of those watching on X. Guys, hit up the live chat. Let us know what you were on tonight this weekend. And let us know where you are watching from as well. We are an international sports betting program. Okay, guys, more NFL talk. We've got some games tonight, but we've got some bets to make here as well. The futures market we are covering today, the MVP market. So, Mettler, we're going to let you get started. Your best bet to win MVP and also a long shot that you like. Break this down for us.
All right, so I'm going to go with Jared Goff, plus 2,500. To me, this is a quarterback award, so if I'm going with the favorite. When I was just looking at, the top of the board, it kind of goes to someone who is – this award always goes to a quarterback and usually goes to a quarterback on one of the best teams. I think when you look at Goff at plus 2,500 – the more of the top board is like plus 1,000, plus 900. So it's kind of, the price is obviously factored in here. You don't kind of view like Goff in that category. But I also do think like when Goff was traded from the Rams to the Lions, you kind of saw, he was kind of painted as like a throw in. Like he's not a good quarterback. He won't even be the starter for the Lions. They're going to have to use a draft pick to go find a quarterback. And then these last 2 years, he's kind of had that narrative of like resurrecting his career, but also like, oh, it's just a good season from an average quarterback. I think if he strings together like a third straight really, really good year here with the Lions, you might actually, I think that narrative can kind of flip to the point like this guy might be MVP and he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league type thing. I don't think this is something he could have done the last couple years or the first year in Detroit. I just don't think that people don't view him in that light. But like now you're, NFC Championship, this is your third year there. I think that is an important part of this as well. And I mean, we've talked about it. Jingles has said it many, many times. The Lions are playing 14 indoor games. Ben Johnson's back. They have all these weapons, continuity. So I think everything's kind of there to keep that production rolling. It's not like there's missing pieces for the Lions as well. I just really think, this almost is kind of like a long shot to a degree, this market as well. Because to me, when you look at the long shots, it's really just quarterback. And I don't think Goff, like obviously Goff can't run for yards, which would hurt him in an MVP type thing. But I do think it's the fact that the Lions can get like that number one seed. So if you're talking like 4,800 passing yards, maybe 38, 40 passing touchdowns and the number one seed, I think he's there, right? Like, I think that it's very possible for him. And also the price, plus 2,500. So that was a factor too.
Yeah, he's going to stuff that stat sheet. He's going to be on a good team here as well. So, yeah, not a bad number on him. Okay, your favorite long shot bet, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so I was just saying we can open this up to a bigger conversation as well. I think it's really hard to bet a long shot in this market because I think quarterback award. So, like, even, like, I was kind of looking at for long shot, I was like, oh, Anthony Richardson might be, like, one of those guys who he can combine the passing with the rushing, but then he's plus 3,400. I'm like, yeah, that's not really enough.
Really falls off the cliff there, though, right? Like, I'm looking at it, Tua, Stafford, Lawrence, and then it goes, and then, I don't know, that tier is like Kirk Cousins is maybe the longest one that can actually win 10 games, 11 games, and then it goes to Richardson, Murray, CMC, Caleb Williams, and Baker Mayfield. Like, it just falls off a cliff, and that's why I think you said Goff is a great long shot. I think he's probably the best value at that range.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Hurts too, but like Goff, number one seed in the NFC is a legit shot with him.
So for my long shot, I did put Jahmyr Gibbs 300-1. Do I think he'll win? Probably not. But if someone ever is going to overtake a quarterback in this award, once again, I think it has to be on a top team, number one seed. That's potential for the Lions. And you just kind of look at Gibbs, I'm like, it would take like a special season from someone to do this. And he kind of does have that potential for 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving. And there's not too many guys who can do that. I mean, even Christian McCaffrey, when he had those years where he was pushing towards that, he didn't even get an MVP talk. So it would take like a lot. I don't think Gibbs will actually win is what I'm trying to tell you. But if I had to look really, really long, I'm looking at someone who can have just a spectacular season on a top team. And I think it's at least possible for him with his skill set. Was it going to happen? Probably not.
Yeah, you'll need one of these skill guys to break some sort of record or get to some type of landmark that hasn't been to in many seasons. So, yeah, who knows? He's going to get the ball in space a lot. He should be better second year in the league, second year in this offense, all those indoor games playing right on a top offense. So, yeah, get him into your fantasy lineups as well, right?
Yeah, there's also for him like the 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving potential for a lot of touchdowns too in that offense, right? So it has to be like just an amazing season from a running back to get this award. So I think there's only a couple people that could even – it's even possible for them.
Indeed. Okay, Jingles, what do you got for us?
Jalen Hurts, let's go 16-1. Motivational factor coming off an embarrassing loss to Tampa Bay in the playoffs. Absolute collapse after starting the season 10-1 straight up. Got new coaches. Nick Sirianni giving up his offensive control, which is big. And Saquon Barkley is a massive upgrade. Now we bring in Kellen Moore. Now you kind of do worry about old coach, new offensive coordinator and how that will work. But expect more to increase the pace of play. Lots of more pre-snap motion. And he mentioned previously that they wanted not bring in an entire new offense. They want to use and integrate some systems from the Shane Steichen offense, which means more RPOs with Barkley. That could mean some big yards either down the field, passing or tucking and run, something we didn't really see with Hurts as much last year. Get those easy tush push TDs. Bottom five, easy strength of schedule. MVP runner-up in 2022. He had a 14-1 straight-up record that year. 4,000 yards passing. 25 to 30 TDs, 750 yards rushing, 10 rushing TDs, all obtainable. And then the number one seed in the NFC, that should cap it off. He was trading at plus 140 going into December last year before the wheels absolutely fell off. So kind of a long shot. I don't know where he's. I think he's, what, six on this spot? Am I jumping ahead and taking guys like, I don't know, Lamar? I don't really love Lamar Jackson. I'm not taking Jordan Love ahead of Jalen Hurts, that's for sure, in this spot. So, I mean, 16-1 is a pretty good number for him. And he was calling – he called out Wink Martindale the other day. Like, he called the Giants' former coordinator. And, like, Everyone's saying there's an issue with him and Nick Sirianni. But this, to me, just sounds like a guy who's trying to find every edge that he can to figure out what's going wrong and to make the decisions with the team, whether or not his – coach is helping to make those adjustments. So the guy wants to win. He's got the tools. He's got the offensive coordinator, Saquon. He's got the passing tools and the pass catchers. He's got everything there to be an MVP. Just kind of hope that old Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, easy guy to like for sure. Okay. An easy guy for me to hate as a Miami Dolphins fan is, but I do like him. Let's be fair. My best bet to win MVP this year, I'm going to go with Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, 9-1. So just look at his history here. He has a proven history of production, health, highlight reel plays, and winning football. You know, he's going to step to stat sheet. Bills are probably going to be a winning team. He hasn't had any serious injuries throughout his career. And those highlight reel plays, always a threat to take off with the ball or throw an absolute bomb 60 yards down the field. So, you know, he's going to be in the conversation all year long. And he, you know, is a guy who does it all. And he does make everyone around him better. And speaking of that, he's going to be dependent on more than ever this year. And I think he's really going to be in the spotlight because of that. You know, no Stephon Diggs, who, you know, he's at the end of his prime or maybe probably even out of it, to be fair. Gabe Davis never really materialized, I don't think, as that number two receiver that they wanted. So I think that lack of star power around him is going to make him stand out even more. Look for those tight ends to play a big role in the Bills offense this year. So I like Allen 9-1. And if you want to make a long shot bet for MVP, as we kind of talked about, there's not, you know, what qualifies as a long shot bet to go outside of the quarterback market. What about Tyreek Hill, who's 100-1 over at FanDuel to win this award? So still very much in his prime. At 30 years old, his production improved from year one to year two in the Miami offense. Despite playing one fewer game, he led the NFL in receiving yards, got to the end zone 13 times. You know, this is a regular season award. You can make fun of the Dolphins all you want against good teams. A lot of that criticism, very fair, by the way. And here's the thing, like Mettler and I talked about, it has to be like a special year, right, for one of these skill players to get consideration for the MVP. He does have an outside shot at getting to 2,000 receiving yards. He had 1,799 last season. Despite missing a game, he was had his snaps cut short in a lot of games. Miami won four or five blowouts there as well. So 100-1, if you're looking just for something, a small bet to make on Tyreek Hill, yeah, I think he's got at least one more really, really good season in him, and it could be a historical one for him this year. Okay, guys, so we got some preseason games going on tonight. We saw a few last night, a few notes that I want to pass along. You guys know I'm really big on these trends. I put these ones out on X this morning. So we have the Pittsburgh Steelers as a 2.5-point underdog versus the Texans tonight. Check out this run the Steelers are on in the preseason. 18-4 straight up, 16-5-1 against the spread in their last 22 preseason games. 10 of those wins came by double digits. You know, I do believe that some teams really do emphasize winning more than others in the preseason. And I think it's pretty fair to say, you look at that record, I think that's probably what Mike Tomlin tries to do. Meanwhile, we have the Eagles and Ravens playing. The Eagles are a point favorite in that one. Philadelphia, an awful run here in the preseason. 3-13-2 straight up, 4-13-1 against the spread in their last 18 preseason games. Specifically under Nick Sirianni, they're just 1-6-2 straight up, 2-6-1 ATS. And the Ravens, of course, are notorious for being an absolute wagon in the preseason. 29-5 straight up in their last 34 preseason games. So small bets for me to back the Steelers. I'll take them on the spread at 2.5 there, and I will take the Ravens to win outright. Just some small little bets for me. Jingles, what's your approach to betting NFL preseason? Do you at all? Do you pay attention to these trends, or is it more of a who's in, who's out type of thing?
Yeah, yesterday's situation in New England was super weird, where Carolina didn't even have Andy Dalton, right? They didn't have starters, so it was like some ones versus for sure twos. And then twos versus threes through the whole game. And it was kind of lopsided in that side. And just if things went bad for Carolina and they put up 3 points, then things were going to go bad because they didn't have any help. So if you can really find that, obviously everyone's out there making sure they know the quarterback rotation. And sometimes people think they do know it, or they don't. But when teams only have two quarterbacks like Carolina did yesterday, it kind of makes things easy. But move around. I mean, my best advice is probably to find interesting markets because there's different offerings from different books. Lots of books don't want to hold a lot of stuff. I got yesterday New England to score first and win the game -105 when they were 6.5-point favorites. And they had the edge in the QB rotation from start to finish. That worked well. I think the win first half win game was like -135. There's lots of markets. And as more preseason games come and more starters come, we'll start to see some more markets open up. So try to find some edges. I mean, the last week on the Hall of Fame game, Bet365 had their team total first half not updated after a significant move. So just kind of shop around.
Okay, there you have it. We'll leave those as our closing words. Make sure you shop around. Always good advice here in the world of sports betting. Okay, guys, thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. We're going to be right back with you guys on Monday, breaking down some Major League Baseball. No more Olympic talks, really. Maybe we'll do a little recap of what we see over the weekend here with John. More NFL futures talk. So until then, best of luck with all of your bets. And we will catch you guys again on Monday. Woo!